of all, this is the second review conference of the Anti-Personnel Ban Man Treaty, following on the first review that took place in Nairobi 2004. So that itself is the first point. Secondly, is that the United States of America, for the first time, attended officially as an observer. And this is very significant for us, because hitherto, USA has been out of the pool. But of the things that happened on the ground, we saw four countries that have announced within their deadlines that they have completed their obligations. And that for Africa includes Zambia and Rwanda. We have Greece in there too. So we are looking at a treaty within 10 years that is seeing some of the fruit that we have been coveting, i.e. the completion of destruction of all stocks and also the removal of these mines that are on the ground. So that was very important. The third thing that we saw here as significant was that the states this time round placed victim assistance on top of the agenda. So that's the first thing that they discussed out of all the topics. Then finally, of course, we have the Cartagena Action Plan, which will guide us the next 5 years. So these were the headlines out of this meeting as far as I could see it.
Your country, Zambia and Rwanda, are the two countries that declared that now they are now mine-free. But in Africa, the other countries like Nigeria, Zimbabwe, Uganda that have failed, and Eritrea that have so far not met that goal. What was your trick in being able to achieve this goal?
Yeah, that's a good question. I would speak for Rwanda too. I think the key word here is leadership. If you have a committed leadership, they are focused on the business on the table, you are likely to achieve this. But added to that is international cooperation. The partners came through for Zambia, came through for Rwanda, and that pushed the agenda forward. In other places where the sort of leadership is not leading as they should or not to the extent that they should, we're having these difficulties. Uganda should have completed, and we didn't see why not, but because, you know, of the bureaucratic bottlenecks and also the way the whole system is arranged, it led to, in part, to they are not meeting these deadlines. Eritrea and Ethiopia discussed security issues, and that is very difficult in the Horn of Africa because each is looking over the shoulder of the other to see who goes in first. So Ethiopia and Eritrea are not pushing as they should. Zimbabwe, as you might know, it's a political question here because of the leadership that is believed to be oppressive in Zimbabwe. So countries, donors, are not prepared to put their dollars into the basket for Zimbabwe, partly because of the leadership question. And indeed, there are places like Lesotho, Namibia. Actually, these are done. So they are not highlights, but the work is already done. Mozambique and Angola are the ones that are really bothering us because they have received so much help, and yet the problem doesn't seem to be going away. That is not to say there's no progress. There's been lots of progress, but we expected them to do more. And whatever they are doing, they must do it quickly. So we are seeing Angola and Mozambique lagging behind a little bit in spite of the fact that there's international goodwill out there. So back again, it's leadership and international cooperation.
Earlier you alluded to assistance to landmine survivors and their families. How are you approaching this in your country?
Yeah, in Zambia, that's a very good question. We have laws that are looking at people with disability in general. So within that basket, there are programs that attend to the issues affecting the disabled in general. For landmine victims, it's a window. It's an approach, a vehicle that we can use to bring in more funds by specifying the needs of victims and then working in those institutions. So what the government did, for example, for two of the big hospitals, was to work with the International Committee of the Red Cross to rehabilitate the prosthetic and training center for the victims and also built a hostel where they would travel from upcountry and lodge so that they are seen by the specialists. So this has helped a lot, and we believe that little works such as this should be replicated in other places. So this is how to approach victim assistance. Indeed, as you might realize, we're not discussing necessarily the person who was injured or affected. That includes communities around them. So that includes the areas where these mines were. So all that has to be taken into account. So to answer your question, each country has to come down, draw up a national action plan on victim assistance within, obviously, their laws on disability. And these days we are fortunate because we do have conventions that are looking at specifically people with disability. The convention, for example, on the rights of persons with disability has gone a long way to define what it is that is in the package for people with disability. So these are instruments, among others, that will help us push forward the item on victim assistance.
And lastly, Mr. Antonga, and very briefly, 20 countries have not yet joined the mine ban treaty. But you mentioned earlier that the United States, which is among those which haven't joined yet, attended this summit for the first time. Did this show willingness to sign on?
Yes, so far the rhetoric is right. You'll be surprised. The U.S. thought that they will meet a very hostile crowd here, they will be lampooned and lambasted, but they were surprised, they welcomed. And the meetings we have had with them have been very frank. We think they are candid. We think that they are moving forward. And just for the record, the U.S., though, is not a member of the international family of ratifiers of the treaty. They have been, as a country, the largest donor. They have put in to date $1.5 billion into the program. So that is very good. But coming on board will be important because China, Russia, Pakistan, India are out there waiting for the U.S. to come on board. So if they do, we think that there are a lot of rip-offs, there will be a lot of dividends out of it. Just to, again, quickly for your listeners, Libya, Morocco, Somalia are not on board, and Egypt are not on board in Africa. And this is important if you look at the links between them and USA. So we think that once Big Brother is in there, the other guys will come into the house.